but spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spoiler Ep 42. We're banging them out.
This is like two in a row.
It is like two in a row.
This is fantastic.
It's nuts.
And I can't wait to talk about this movie more, too.
I don't.
No, really, that's it. It's going to be a short episode.
Yeah, I don't really. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Is that getting in the way? Is that a problem?
I don't really like movies.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
I just don't know. Every week we got to come in and talk about another movie.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. We got to do this every time, but just.
Let's introduce our guest.
Well, it's. Announcement
oh, wait,
first,
no,
but
announcement.
Spoiler
yeah, do
episode.
It.
So if you're new to the spoiler episodes, we're just going to talk about one movie. This episode will be Hail Caesar, and we're going to give away endings and all the details and stuff like that. So if you haven't seen it and you listen and then go, they gave away the ending, you're dumb. So
don't use your dumb voice.
Yeah, don't use your stupid voice saying dumb things. Yes.
They gave away the ending. Yeah. That's, say it all serious.
Yes. How dare they?
So that gave away the ending character voice was done by our guest, who was on the show a long time, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe?
Yes.
Oh, geez. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
So bringing him back.
Ladies. Yeah, that's how much they love me.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Goebel.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm very serious about films.
Well, this is why it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Because we don't like
Makes
that
sense.
Professor Film character guy.
That's his name, Professor Film.
Professor Film character.
Professor Robert J. Film.
I call him Bob.
Yeah.
Well, known him for a while.
Bob
okay.
Film.
Sure.
So what podcast are you doing now? Because I know you had the King of TV.
That's right. I was doing the Paul Goebel show for a long time, and then we quit that. And then I started this new one called Hey Watch This with David Bax from Battleship Pretension. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that for a while, 3 years now. So that's the only one I'm doing. I got a few on the burner. I got a few cooking.
Ooh. You got a few podcasts in development?
Exactly. Well, it's actually,
does that mean they're just on an SD card?
Yeah.
I'm waiting to pay the money for feed hosting. Yeah. That's all. That's what I'm waiting for. But there are so many. There are like actual podcasting like networks now. So, you know, I was talking to, who was I talking to? The guys at Earwolf and there's another one.
Wolf Pop?
No. I want All Things Comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard of them.
Yeah, there you go. So I was like, hey, I got some ideas for podcasts. So I got some in the burner. But right now it's just, hey, watch this, me and David.
Well, whatever you do, make sure you give all your rights away to the show.
Oh, for sure.
To the network, you mean?
Yeah, to the network. Make sure you don't retain anything.
Yeah, for sure.
And no ownership.
Well, that's definitely the defeat the whole purpose of podcasting.
Yeah, right.
By signing away.
Yeah, isn't that the model? A big corporation comes in and says, "Hey, I want to aggregate all this stuff and take the money for it because you guys got famous. That's what you guys got out of it, right? You're super famous and rich."
Well, that's why
it's an equitable trade.
That's why, yeah, we're not famous, but that is why we're with All Things Comedy. Is they don't own any content or anything.
No, they do it correctly.
They just kind of help get advertisers and stuff like that.
And those guys are cool also.
Yeah.
Hey Watch This is what I do every week with David, and we each pick a show and we talk about it. This week, for the first time in 3 years, we both watched a different episode of a show. We were confused about what episode was the premiere of the Venture Brothers. I said, I want to watch the premiere of Venture Brothers this week. And apparently there was one episode that didn't get released. It was like you could only see it online or something. It was episode zero.
Like a hidden episode?
Yeah, basically like for fans only. So David watched that online. I watched episode one, which was on Cartoon Network, and we talked about it for a half hour before we realized we were talking about two different episodes. That's the best part. Because Adventure Brothers is such a crazy, effed up show that for 30 minutes we went, yeah, I guess I missed that part. All right. Anyway, and then we would go on, but for a half hour we talked about two different episodes.
How did you go? Did one of you finally go, hey, wait, what did you watch? When did you come up?
Well, yeah, I was like, because at one point he goes, well, the episode's an hour long. And, you know, most Adult Swim shows are 15 right. minutes anyways. And I was like, really? It seemed a lot shorter. Okay. And then things started to add up.
And then one of you said, oh, well, no, I watched Teen Titans Go.
Exactly. Yeah, it was really strange that, I mean, because there have been times when we couldn't watch things or when, like, David's like, I want to watch this episode and it's not available anywhere because mm-hmm. It's an old show or whatever. But we always make sure we watch the same show. And this time, just didn't happen.
All right, well, blame your producer.
I always blame the producer. But the great thing is, if you listen to it, you'll know right away, oh, these guys watch two different shows, and then like 20, 30 minutes will pass, and then we both go, oh, wait a minute. We're dumb. But then we also talked about this week's episode of The X-Files, the new X-Files, and we do all that fun TV stuff. So
excellent.
Hey, Watch This with Paul and David is what it's called. You just do it.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's get into Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar. So who goes first?
So should we let our guests go first?
Well, I liked it. I mean, I'm a Coen Brothers fan from way back. Blood Simple is one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, when that came out and I was in high school, it was like a formative time. That was the first movie I saw where I went, oh, that's what dark comedy is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and ever since then, I'm very, very critical of Coen Brothers movies because some of them are so great, like Miller's Crossing or Lebowski. Mm-hmm. Some of them, not so good. Hudsucker Proxy. Yeah, I don't think that's such a great movie.
I like that one.
Yeah? Really?
It's for kids.
It's for kids, you know, for kids, yeah. But I'm always very critical of it, and I expect a lot. So, like, this one, I knew it was long, and I knew it had a million people in it, so I thought, oh, I get it. It's like a big budget, you know, epic movie from the studios, and that's what I got from it. I liked it, for the most part. It was a little long, and I'll say, for me, the movie didn't even begin until the Channing Tatum dance sequence.
Right.
Like, the whole part up to that, I was like, let's fucking go. Let's get this movie started. What is this movie even about? And then it's not till then that it gets good. And that's the best scene in the movie, if you ask me, that dance sequence. Mm-hmm. But after that, it gets really good. And I thought, especially at the end, I was like, because a lot of Coen Brothers movies, you don't really know what they're about until it's over, you know, like A Serious Man. You know, you watch the whole movie and nothing happens, and then you go, oh, that's what it was about,
right?
Where nothing happens. But this movie is kind of like that, in that there's all these other things going on. Scarlett Johansson's story and the whole communist thing and little characters. Like Channing Tatum, he does very little in the movie. Aside from that great dance scene, he does almost nothing in the rest of the movie.
Carries a briefcase,
drops it in the water. But yeah, aside from that, it's not like he has a major character. And also, all these things go on that seem like they're very important. But what's really happening is we're watching the story of this guy and what he does for a living. And, you know, when they first introduced Josh Brolin, it says head of physical production on his door. And I think that's the key there. He's the head of physical production. Make sure all the T's get crossed, you know, all day long.
Mm-hmm. He's a studio fixer.
That's exactly what he is. Yeah.
He's a studio fixer. He, you know, because the movie opens with, you know, him kind of rescuing a starlet from making some naughty, you know, postcards.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And paying off the cops and all that stuff. And the entire film is him putting fires out, like literally within like a day. And then I think the trailer was a little deceiving. Like, I went into this movie thinking it was a kidnapping movie about, you know, George Clooney disappearing. And I thought that was the entire film, but it wasn't. That was like each big star is only in this movie a couple of scenes.
I think I like the movie because I just like the Coen Brothers. And I know they're never going to do something where I go, what the fuck was that? You know what I mean? Like, you're always going to go, that's interesting, that's cool, that's a swing and a miss, but it took a big swing or whatever.
I felt that way with Burn After Reading. I'm like, well, I didn't really like this movie, but it's still a couple interesting things.
Serious Man was like that for me. I mean, I like watching A Serious Man, but I feel very unfulfilled after watching it.
Well, that was sort of the end of this movie for me. Like, the end, I sort of went, okay, so you took me on this fucking communist boondoggle for 2 hours or whatever, hour and a half. It's not that long of a movie. But like, it was like you all these things in there, and then it's just sort of like, you know, and that was where and I was talking to a friend of mine who works a lot, kind of closely with these movies a little bit, and he was like saying, he goes, the lead didn't have a character arc. Josh Brolin didn't have a character arc.
Right.
And their best movies all have someone who goes through, like,
right.
something. Fargo, No Country for Old Men. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have really, like, holy shit. And so it, that's what I felt was missing. It ended, and I kind of just went, what did I just see?
I think there's
all these individual scenes are amazing.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. And again, I watched it at the Arclight in Santa Monica, and afterwards they did these, you know, those Arclight interview
TV thing. Uh-huh. The behind the scenes thing.
So they had Roger Deakins, who's the DP, mm-hmm. and Mary Zofries, Murray Valeriano's wife.
Right. Who,
and both, they showed, both of those people have done like 10 or so Coen Brothers movies. Right. And to hear what she, you know, what Roger Deakins is, I think, is one of the more amazing cinematographers out there, to hear his process. He was like, I like shooting single camera. And he was so ecstatic that they went, it has to be shot on film because we want it to look like that. Visually, to me, was amazing.
That was great. Yeah.
The colors and then her costumes, like she went out and found all these old costumes. And in the interview was like, you know, I grew up watching MGM musicals, so that's why I got into costume design. So that all of that detail is why I'm like, I'll go see any Coen Brothers movies about anything. I'll see whatever they make.
It looked amazing, for sure.
It was stunning.
Yeah.
I just wanted a little, like, I wanted a little more. I wanted, as opposed to just sort of like, day in the life of a Hollywood fixer.
But I think, see, I think that was the point of the entire movie, is that.
I think it was, too.
Yeah, this guy, like you said, he's a fixer, and he spends all day in the entire movie, beginning to end, fixing. Even when he walks away, like, one of my favorite scenes is the end with Tilda Swinton, when he says, here, I was going to deliver these to you, but since you're here, I'll give them to you right now.
Yeah.
Like that flower thing, those just literally fell into his lap, and he's like, I got to get rid of these.
And that's what he does all day.
All day long, and he thinks real quick. And then he has it. I mean, obviously, it's a movie about Josh Brolin, and it goes to your point about the way they advertised it. You think it's about George Clooney.
That might have been part of my, why I was like,
you know, if it had been marketed properly, I think we all would have never would have taken that left turn.
But honestly, though, I don't think you can put it all on the marketing, because they did set up these secret people kidnapped.
Yeah, Wayne Knight and Jeff, what's the guy, Jeff Stevenson, whatever his name is.
So funny.
Yeah.
But I thought that was like, to me, I was like, I'm watching just Trumbo. Like, I thought this is like...
Seems like it'd be a good double feature, this movie and Trumbo together. Yes.
I thought it was about a Blacklist thing. I was like, this is Spartacus. He's Kirk Douglas. He's the biggest guy of the time. And, he does have... Like, Kirk Douglas was trying to implement these socialist ideas into movies. And I was like, wow. And that's all just like, he had sex with... So he's gay and he had sex with the German director.
Yeah, Lambert.
Christopher Lambert. And then...
No, Ralph Fiennes. Was supposed
That's right. It was Lawrence.
That was the. That was the. You know, the gossipy
of Wings comments. On Eagles.
Right. Yeah. But you know. Bandy. But of course it's great because it's Hollywood gossip. So do you ever get a confirmation? Was it true or not?
You never
know,
you do. Said
that, and
but George Clooney goes like when they bring it up to him when he's kidnapped in the Malibu house.
Yeah. Right. There's all these little cool subtle things.
Yeah.
Now. I really like this movie, and I felt like even after I got over the initial of like, this isn't really what the trailer was showing, I loved the fact that it felt like the Coen brothers going, you know what, we're going to play around in the studio system of 50s Hollywood, and we're going to go wherever we want, we're going to have scenes go as long as we want when there's no business for them being as long as they are, and we're just going to make something... It really felt like a, and I don't mean this as a, an insult. It felt like a bit of a vanity project. Mm. It also felt a little bit like obviously they're funnier movies like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where this is more in the comedy realm than a dark comedy. This is a much broader comedy, and I think there was a little bit of an arc to Josh Brolin's character. It was very small. It was very small. You see the day in the life of a fixer, but you also see him soul searching. Is this the person I want to be? Is this the life I want to be? And also, is this will this job make me an adult if I go with basically the defense contractor?
Right.
And what I love too about the Coen brothers, even in their comedies, they put these little threads in that kind of tie everything, even. Not necessarily directly together, but you also have, You have the cold scare, you know, the Cold War. You have communism. You have a defense contractor. You have him figuring out how does this all kind of go together in a Coen Brothers world. And even though the threads were thin, you know, to pull everything together, they were there. Yeah. And I just loved the scenes that, like, you could tell everyone on the set was having an absolute blast. Like, when you see George Clooney with the oversized goblet laughing, but seriously. Like, you know, scenes like that, oh, my God. And Channing Tatum dancing.
Killing it. And Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, my God.
Well, that scene was so amazing. Yeah. They shot that the way those old water.
And it looked the same. Yeah, and you have you have the live band. You have when Ralph Fiennes trying to teach the cowboy how to say one line.
And that part kind of blew me away because they were like, get Hobie. Oh, he can't act. He's a cowboy guy. And that's how it was in the old days.
Yes.
These cowboy guys were amazing at lariats and all that other crap.
And that stunt was absolutely ridiculous where he flips over on the tree and then
lands on the horse. It's crazy.
And then, like, when he's on the date that the studio sets up.
Yes.
With the woman that's obviously supposed to be like
Carmen Miranda.
Right. Yeah, she was awesome.
And so I loved how they just gave all those little nods.
Right.
She's like, boy, I love your movies. Like, man, I don't know how you sing that high. Or whatever. It's like, oh, it's Carmen
Miranda. How do you sing with fruit on your head?
Yeah, how do you sing with fruit? Right. That's the line. How do you sing with fruit on your head? Which is just like, that's so, there's all these little winks that I just, that I love as a film history fan.
Yes.
You're going to love that. I felt like they just wanted to go out and shoot those big scenes and went, oh, how do we have a plot?
That was part of it. Really do. And I think that was part of the ways they wanted to play because they, I was reading about this. Originally, the concept for the film was all about just what was going on in a gladiator film. And then that was like years ago. That got scrapped. They brought it back and then they made it into this big kind of like studio fixer movie to show all these different types of movies.
It's a great idea.
And you know what? I'll tell you, I can't imagine what that production design budget was on this movie because not only you're recreating these old time Hollywood movies, you're creating multiple versions of them and they're all epic. You know, you've got
And some scenes too. The submarine, which wasn't even in a movie, but that's right out of all those old movies,
right?
So all those scenes, the scene in Jonah Hill's office, that cramped little office of the guy stamping papers,
and the casting is so good, and the acting is so good, and it's just you're laughing at every single scene and every single thing a character does, and it shows how great a director, both of them are, because they all do everything together. Grant's playing with his pen.
No, you're right, because obviously they wanted to make these big, crazy scenes, and they were able to do it. This is what I got out of the movie, because Coen Brothers make me think a lot. And, like, I remember when I saw Serious Man, I was really upset, like, for days afterwards, trying to figure out what the movie was saying to me, and somebody had to, like, sit me down and go, here's the point.
Calm down.
Yes. It's just a
movie. Go on with your life.
But here's what I got out of it. You got Josh Brolin's character, who's a fixer, all day fixing these things. And there's major things happening around him. A woman is having a baby. Communists are trying to take over. Someone got kidnapped. Big deal. You know, thousands and thousands of dollars are going around. But what's his main concern? That he's lying to his wife about smoke.
Yes.
Right. He can't stop smoking, which is killing him inside. And then he has to lie to his wife about it. And, like, that scene where he's eating dinner,
She's over his shoulder, which is a great shot.
And she even says, well, you're the smart one. What do you think? That's the best part of the whole movie for me, because it's clear she's on his shoulder, guiding him to do the right thing. But it's like, this is the most important thing in the world. And then, so you got all these crazy important things happening. He's trying to dot every I and cross every T. And then they drop the money in the water. And I thought to myself, oh, that's the point. All this crazy shit that happens, who cares? Who gives a fuck? They went through this whole kidnapping plot to get all this money. Channing Tatum drops it in the water. They all look at each other and go, eh, oh, well. And he gets on the sub and all the communists go back home. And they're like, oh, well, the money wasn't really important. And you know what? None of this is important.
Right.
Communism was a failure. Obviously, it didn't work. These big stars who have big ideas, who gives a fuck? You know, when Josh Brolin slaps George Clooney in the face and says, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Go do your job.
Yeah.
We all got jobs to do.
Go be a star.
Go do it. And that is what,
that's when it all came together for me. I was like, that's what this movie is about. What you do on a day-to-day basis and how you treat the people who are important to you, that's what life is. And he could have easily taken his... They couldn't have made that job sound any better. He could have taken it, worked right there for a year, been a millionaire for the rest of his life, yep, and smoked cigarettes. But he was like, that's not a job. That's not a life. That's not living your life. He would go to confession every day and say, oh, Father, I'm a slothful. Yeah. I just sit around and smoke cigarettes all day.
And he was the kind of person that loved the chaos.
Absolutely.
Well, he loved show business. He loved working in the circus. Like, that was the thing. Like,
definitely.
And I think that to your point, you guys are kind of turning me around on this film a little bit. Let's go see it again. Yeah, see it again. Yeah. I fucking like Hail Caesar.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I didn't like it, but I think when you make that point, Paul, the flowers then at the end sum it all up. Is he being honest about it?
No.
Right.
Did he buy flowers for her? No.
Right.
But he just wants her to be happy.
Right.
He wants her to be happy. Is it pure heart why he wants her to be happy? No, he wants her to write nice things for his studio that he works for.
He wants everything to move smoothly.
Everybody to be taken care of. Look, you get your column. Just do it. You know what? They're going to be having dinner. You know, like he says, says they're going on a date. I don't know. You're going to get a break. And then
he wants to keep the wheels turning.
Keep the wheels turning. Yeah. And like George Clooney, don't fuck this up. So I'm going to slap you around in that dumb Roman outfit
that he's in for the entire movie.
He's in a skirt the entire goddamn movie.
It's pretty funny.
Which is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and he never says, I need to take a shower
or
whatever.
Nope.
He's just having fun.
So I want to go, back to the thing where it kind of took me out of it, I think. I want to go back to the submarine scene towards the end of the movie, right? So So here's what they've set up. And this is a visual thematic problem, I thought.
Uh-huh.
So they set up very distinctly. Here's the film. They'd show you the actual thing being shot.
Right.
And it was bright and glamorous, and then they'd go, cut, right? And so then we kind of see the real world. Now, granted, it was their Coen brothers' sunny, colorful 50s Hollywood.
Hyper-realistic
world.
And it's also Roger Deakins with a very specific look, and then also afterwards it's being put into color processing.
It's a color palette. It's Deakins getting to really work with film, the medium of film, and how to process the color, how to light it, how to shoot it, all of that. And then you've got, going back to the production design, how good of a job that was done. Mary Zofri's costumes fitting into that production design and how beautiful it was. But there was a clear line between this is the movie.
Yes.
These are the pictures, and this is what's actually happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that shot of him, like George Washington crossing the Potomac, which was funny.
Right.
I thought, we're back in a movie.
Yeah.
And it took me out, and then I was like, so I didn't believe that this submarine thing was actually happening. I said, Channing Tatum, this must be the sailors now have to stop communists.
Right.
And then I was like, this is actually happening? These are the actual communists, and he's actually getting on a submarine to go to the Soviet Union? I was like...
I'm going
to
give you the counterpoint to that. Okay. I think because it was towards the end of the film, and you've seen both of these worlds, the manufactured world and, quote, the real world, even though they're both obviously manufactured by the Coen brothers, that scene was deliberately staged to blend those two together because it's toward the end. So you're looking at, like, the manufactured world and the real world, and are they really that far apart? Are they overlapping?
And then I guess that serves the point of Josh Brolin just loves this world.
Yes.
On set, behind the camera, offset, wherever.
He loves when the gossip columnists come up and bug him. He loves
it. Yeah. He likes to play them because this is, it just makes his job easier when they come to see him, because instead of having to call them and go, hey, these guys are on a date, he goes, I'm glad you're here. Listen. And he manipulates them and sends them out.
He got Tilda Swinton in two different outfits. And it was so every great scene.
That's classic. That's classic Coen brothers.
Yeah. So good. Yeah.
And they're one's jealous of the other. Yeah. Like,
and each outfit was more ridiculous than the last one.
Which is you're making fun of the Hedda Hatter, whatever.
Yes. How's the society page? You know, that kind of the gossip comments where they would always wear these crazy.
Well, the funny thing was, honestly, I really felt like, God, if this had come out a year later, I would have thought it was a direct parody of Trumbo. Because Helen Mirren says,
well, my 35 million readers, right? They would like, she's like mean. So then one of them, one of the sisters says that she has 19 million. The other right. one has 15 or right. whatever. Like, it's like,
yeah, that was so, such a great idea. I mean, it seems simple. Like, well, just get the same actress to play this part and it'll be a funny joke. Mm. But the way it was executed, because no camera tricks where they're on this, no split screen uh-uh. or whatever, where they're together or they're talking. No, like, actress playing the same part jokes in there.
Right.
It was just because we want these people to seem exactly the same, but in different outfits. That's what it was.
Right.
And that's exactly what it was. Like, they didn't put a mole on one of them.
Right.
You know?
The Coen brothers are basically saying all these guys from college are the fucking same.
Exactly. Right. And back right. then, especially, that's how you could tell them apart was their crazy hats. who's got the biggest hat this week?
Right.
Yeah. Every character in that, and like, you know, even the Carmen Miranda girl, like, I looked her up. I was like, who is this girl? And she was in a few things, but I feel like the casting was so specific for this. Like, you know, who do we get to play the Esther Williams role? Super chick who looks super hot in a swimsuit? Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
She's great. You know, and who's the hottest hunk who can dance right now? Channing Tatum. Yeah. Get him in here.
Yeah.
And they just got everybody. I don't know. I think this is part of a way to, like, they're fooling people into seeing a Coen Brothers movie, you know?
Yeah, because you have so many stars.
Right?
In it.
So
yeah.
many big. George, oh, I'm going to go see this new George Clooney movie.
Right.
Like, could you imagine A Simple Man? People are like, who? What? Who's in this movie? The guy from Boardwalk Empire? I'm not interested. But this one.
Yeah,
you know,
what's Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah.
Is the next question.
The guy from what? Yeah, but yeah, I want to go see this George Clooney, Josh Brolin movie. And I don't know, it's funny because the Coen brothers, you think about like No Country for Old Men and Serious Man, even True Grit is not like a big blockbuster star vehicle. But this, it totally is because of George Clooney. And yet, it, you know, that's not the kind of movie it is. They can totally market it that way, but it's not even that.
But the thing is, and it kind of goes to both your guys' points of it. It needed that. This movie
needed that star power.
Needed the star power surrounding it. Whereas, like, Inside Llewyn Davis doesn't need that. It needs to be kind of no name and gritty and New York.
Right. It needs the opposite. Uh-huh. Exactly.
So let's go. All right. So we've talked about basically the end of the whole movie where George Clooney's back in business. The communists get arrested. Mm-hmm.
Saved by the cowboy.
The cowboy saves them.
Who all of a sudden, who is portrayed as this dumb hick, and then all of a sudden has some actual insight and actually rescues him.
So, yeah. Well, and he doesn't even, it's not like he rescues him like in the movie either. He walks in and goes, hi, where is everybody? Oh, they're at the beach. All right, we got to go then.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And just ushers him into the car and drives him home.
Yep.
He rescues him, but in a very, you know, simple, modern way. I thought he was the hero, and he just showed up. We go, okay, he's here. It's not like he was the returning conquering hero. He was the quiet hero, kind of like the way he was in the whole movie.
Right,
if he could talk, he'd be a great star.
Lines he was saying too, like in that crazy hayseed accent, like saying about, you gotta watch the extras.
Extras.
What do you say? It's like, you know, when I see Bill lighting the 4K, I know that's Bill lighting the 4K, but extras, you don't know.
Yeah. Yes. He was right.
Yeah.
Because it was the extras that did drug George Clooney.
Yeah. Wayne Knight. And who looked like the guys from
it was Wayne
Hercules.
Knight. Who was the other guy?
Right.
Jeff, I know him. He was he's an old Acme guy, and he's in the Guild. I want to say Jeff. I don't know. His name's Jeff something. I know it's not Jeff Stevenson. That's our old manager. At the pizza restaurant we worked at.
Yeah, chances not a show are it's business
not
manager.
Him. Yeah. Not so much. Yeah, not that manager. Our restaurant manager.
But if you're ever in Chicago, go to Bacino's on 75 East Wacker. It's
excellent.
Nice slice of pie.
Delicious stuffed pizza. But
Chicago's
like
known for that.
That's yes, right. Yes, I liked those characters at the beginning. I wish we would have seen them again, but it kind of set up, which is a very Coen Brothers thing, that even the small characters have very specific, you know, looks and intents. And, you know, those guys, I don't think they even had lines. Maybe Wayne Knight had one line there when they were on the set. But otherwise, they're there to be memorable,
yes,
you know, visually memorable, and then also to move the story along. Even like Jonah Hill, he had 3-4 lines.
Yeah. Right, and that was it.
And that was his only scene, but he was still very instrumental. And I thought it was really funny that they got together at the end. Like, all the shit they were trying to conspire. Well, we'll have him adopt the kid, and then she'll adopt it, right, and then we'll work it out. And they did all the paperwork, mm-hmm, and then, it worked out. And
she just did, because you saw it was happening in the office. Yeah, she's like, you're a reliable man, aren't you?
Exactly. And things just kind of work out sometimes. Like, when he's eating dinner, and they're talking about his kid at shortstop, and he says, oh, I guess it worked itself out.
Yeah, because that was another thing. Uh-huh. Like, oh, I got to call the coach. I got to do this. And
it was like some things, it was like part of the way he fixes things is by letting them work themselves out. Let the problem be all crazy. And if you have to sort it out, great. But sometimes it sorts itself out.
Right.
You know, and with his kids. And I don't know. And again, it goes back to that. If he wasn't doing that, he wouldn't be happy.
He'd be bored out of his skull.
Yeah, right.
He needs to have 10 million things going on. I just want to point out real quick, it's Veronica Osorio who plays Carlotta Valdez, and she actually, if you go to IMDb, she's from Upright Citizens Brigade in New York, and now LA, and you know, she was in the Comedy Bang Bang TV series, and she's had a couple little TV shows and stuff like that. So she's that's the thing I thought that I did love again going to the movie in terms of the casting. So I loved all the big star celebrity casting, but then the sort of lesser known people were really
solid.
Absolutely,
yeah. That kid who played Hobie was great.
Oh man, Alden Ehrenreich.
I mean, they're really...
right? Yeah.
The Coen brothers are just amazing directors of actors, too. Like, they get performances out of actors that you've never seen before. Like, if you watch even O Brother, Where Art Thou, and you see, well, I've never seen George Clooney like that before. Mm. You'd have to go back to Return of the Killer Tomatoes to see.
It's true. Well, even... what was that one... that stupid divorce movie he was in? Cruel Intention? No, that's not what it was called. I always want to say Irreconcilable Differences, but that's not it. But the one, George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones, Billy Bob Thornton, that one, that movie's not very good, but I think Clooney's hilarious in it. And I think that's the kind of performance. When people work with the Coens, they really want to give their best performance. Uh-huh. So they work really, really hard. Honestly, it's
Intolerable Cruelty.
There you go, Intolerable Cruelty. If you got a job on a Coen Brothers movie, you'd be like, oh my God, I got to be as good as... Gabriel Byrne in Miller's Crossing, right? That's a high bar.
To go back to let me defend Hudsucker Proxy a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, that's first of all, let me bring up Hudsucker Proxy.
I will say Paul Newman is really
that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Paul Newman is in Hudsucker Proxy, and he plays this just old, you know, Sidney J. Musburger. Like, he just plays this old
corporate. Old crusty corporate guy.
I mean, Tim Robbins, I love it. Like, John Mahoney. I love that movie because it, first of all, it's very hilarious how they depict. Like, Miller's Crossing, they show big city politics.
Right.
The mayor and the police chief are just like, hey, like whatever whatever mobsters got the power that day.
Yeah.
And they look identical.
Yeah.
They're just
that's pretty great.
They just look like corrupt guys.
Yeah.
Whereas this was showing how sort of ridiculous corporate America is.
Yeah.
You know, and how quick the winds change for them, you know, and Jennifer Jason Leigh, you know, he's the new kid, and then he has some quote that they all, I forget the quote, that the press loves, and then he tries it again. And
And they're like, yeah.
And then the headline, things going south, you know, it's just like, he's done, he's out.
Right, because the straw guy comes in, you know, for drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great performances for sure. Even if it's a movie, like Burn After Reading, I don't think it's so great, but funny performances in that movie for sure. Again, George Clooney
and Brad Pitt.
Yes,
really, really funny. And Burn After Reading, it just the movie itself didn't really come together.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We have an ad read.
What?
We do. We have a sponsor.
Sweet. Hey guys, if you like. Oh,
sorry.
I was going to do the commercial.
This is Squarespace. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, and start building your website today. Now, one of the things we want to talk to you about Squarespace is you could get a professionally designed website regardless of your skill level, no coding required. It's easy to use, it's got great tools, and you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. But that's not all.
No,
why wouldn't you use a coupon code?
What happens when you use a coupon code, Chris?
You get 10% off.
Oh my God, but
10%?
What's the coupon code, though?
Comedy Film Nerds.
Wow, that's the name of our show.
Type it in beautifully.
Oh.
Type it in.
comedy film nerds. I wanted actually the Squarespace ad that was in the Super Bowl was hilarious. That Key and Peele were in it.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was very funny. I was like, oh, it was this funny ad. And I was like, oh, cool. And at the end, it's like Squarespace. I was like, nice. Mm-hmm. Key and Peele are. Those
I watched
are funny.
A lot of those ads. Some of them were no good.
It was probably.
Well, you know what the thing they all had in common? They all cost a lot of money.
Yeah, all the money was on the screen.
It was there was the Key and Peele Squarespace ad, and maybe one or two others. Everything else was just sort of like meh. Like there wasn't any big laugh out loud ones like you get in the past. Mm. But
I like the avocado one with the aliens or the future or whatever.
Sure.
That was really good. But I like it was to me a lot of the ads were like, oh, this is cool. Oh, it's for that. Yeah. It was like that NFL one I thought, the Super Bowl babies, I was like, this is kind of cute. And then I went, oh, it's for the NFL? Yeah, they're all about family. Fuck the NFL. Honestly, that's what I was like at the end. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of the NFL, so F it that they got all these kids together to sing about how great the NFL is, and here's Seal, the guy who beat up his wife. Makes sense. Hmm. So I'm not really
well
a fan.
Then Paul, you should go start a website at squarespace.com and talk about why you're not a fan of the NFL.
That's right. Yes. It's called fuckthenfl.com is my new website,
and you use a coupon code comedy film.
That's right.
10%.
I got 10% off. It's pretty great. It's good.
And we always tell you to support Squarespace because they're a huge supporter of the podcast space and of the festival. So they're a great sponsor.
They support podcasts. They have really helped in the last whatever, you know, 3-4 years, 4-5 years maybe of supporting the podcast. Obviously they buy ad time on the big shows, but we're not that big of a show. Mm-mm. And they're helping us out. So as we said, you guys. Many ways that you can support this us, the Comedy Film Nerds, is by using the sponsors. So
yes.
if you need to design a website, go to Squarespace and use our coupon code. It helps us out. It helps everybody out.
All right.
So let's get back into a little Hail Caesar.
Work it.
Hashtag work it. So I want to go back to some of the other the wide berth of Coen Brothers type movies. Mm-hmm. Because this was big and it was fun. Mm-hmm. I really gravitate to True Grit and No Country for Old Men because my first movie I ever saw of theirs was Blood Simple, and I was like,
yes.
Oh God, this is dark and
yeah.
And
when you
people when that when there's like most of the characters aren't that redeemable.
No,
yeah, yeah.
But it had such a style and such a vision and a voice to it. You're like, oh, you're going to see more movies from these guys. But No Country for Old Men was so dark, and just the way the actors again are directed by the Coen brothers. Like, you know, you have Javier Bardem, and this is before he really
this was
blew
his
up.
Breakout.
This was his breakout role. You know, I'm watching this movie thinking, well, how did they get a psychopath to be in this movie?
Yeah.
Not like this
lunatic.
Is not an actor to actually play. This is a psychopath that they actually hired to be in this movie.
And they're like right off camera is just like a sheriff with a gun on his mouth. He acts up, we're taking him down.
Yeah. It's really amazing what they can do with different actors, but in different genres too. You know, you have like an Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where you have it's funny, but also it's a musical too, and it's based on
The Odyssey.
Yeah, it's also based on
and
a famous Greek story.
And I think it's, you know, obviously those two movies are based on books. So, you know, they wrote the scripts based on books. And then they also write their original stuff. And I think it's kind of fun because, like you said, it's usually the original scripts that sometimes are amiss. But there's very few filmmakers out there who will make a movie that you can say, well, I didn't really like it, but this was interesting. You know, usually, even when it's a great director and they make a crappy movie, you go, wow.
It's crappy all the way through.
That was a whiff. Like, that was 100%. You blew it. Mm-hmm. Put that in the ground and don't ever talk about it again, Ridley Scott, you know, or whoever it is. They make one bad movie all the way through. But the Coen brothers, even if you, like, if you made a list of all their movies and went to the bottom, like, from good to bad, and took the worst Coen Brothers movie ever, you'd still go, but it's still pretty good.
It still had this thing in it.
Lady Killers, Intolerable Cruelty. I go,
yeah.
Like, I remember the thing I said about Intolerable Cruelty was I felt like I was watching someone do an impression of a Coen Brothers movie.
Right.
Right.
But still had good moments. There's still moments where in Lady Killers where Tom Hanks is being a Coen Brothers character.
And Tom Hanks, I mean, that's the best example because that's the only movie they've worked on together. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks, of course, probably the biggest American movie star in history, not just today, but, you know, when you think of American movie stars, it's Tom Hanks and Bill Murray, I guess. And
Clooney.
And Clooney, yes, and these Brad days. Pitt. But even Tom Hanks, his career...
has been... he's the longest.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's been a movie star since we were little kids.
Yes.
You know, so that's... and that's a big deal. So, but he... to work with them in that one movie, and he gives a performance that is different than any other performance he gives. He's not the guy from those idiot art movies. What are they called? The Da Vinci Code movies. He's not that idiot. I hate that. He's not the guy from Splash. He's not the dude dying of AIDS. Right. He's this weirdo in this basement of this house.
In this weird suit.
Right? Saying crazy ass things. And you're like, and so when you walk out, you go, that wasn't a very good movie, but man, Tom Hanks was funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, that was a win.
There's something there. Yeah.
And little things, even like, I bet there's somebody who saw Hail Caesar and went, ah, that was a waste of time. But you know what? Frances McDormand was hilarious.
Right.
That one little scene she's in.
She was an editor.
Right?
It's just like, and it's the thing that was so great about that.
Strangled by her own scarf.
Her own scarf.
That was so brilliant.
And you know that's happened.
You know
that somebody.
You know, she
based
came
based on a real story.
You know, the next day she wore another scarf.
Right, yeah.
She's smoking cigarettes around film.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It's just, and no one said, hey, no one whoa. Cares. You know?
It's okay. And even when that they're watching it and it burns and you're like, ah, cool, that doesn't happen anymore, but that used to happen. And he looks over, all of a sudden, like, boom, she's choking. It's like, you know, the stakes just immediately go high and you think, oh, is she going to die? What's going on? This is so unexpected. The one character who might die is the editing lady.
Yeah. And then, hit reverse. He hits reverse and then back to watching the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
And he just kind of was like, and so true to his character of, I'm the fixer.
Yeah.
I fixed her. She's not dead. All right.
That's good. Right. We're good over here? Okay.
Yeah, all right. Now, back to the footage. Yeah.
So funny.
We got a picture to put out.
Yeah.
Exactly. I got a picture to make.
And I like how he also was about, like, this is our big picture. Like, this was going to be Ben-Hur or the Bible.
Yes.
Or any other big movie like that. And having all the religious leaders in there, that was a nice little
scene. Got to see Alan Havey.
Alan Havey had a nice scene, and that was hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, and and it was realistic, too. Like, the main old-school Catholic guy, all he cared about was the script, really. He was like, it's not very believable, but... And then the Jewish guy was like, Christ who? Christ is just a dude. I couldn't care less what you say about Christ. That was hilarious, and it was realistic. And Havey was just like, well, he was the Southern preacher guy. I thought that was a great
thing. Well, I love too when he's like, so what'd you guys think? And the Muslim guy's like, well, I thought the action was unbelievable. He's like, yeah, not, I wasn't asking for your fucking kid. Like, it was so.
Yeah, he's just like, what? That scene, and the funny thing is, that scene could have been removed from the movie and you would have never missed it. It didn't really make any difference in the rest of the movie, but it was a nice, funny scene. Those four characters only appear in that scene.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and it was almost like a bottling, like they're just in that one room.
And it was a part of his job of trying to avoid a problem later on. Like, you got to nip this in the bud to make sure, like, we don't want this picture to get protest once it's released.
Because, yeah.
And he's walking with the secretary, like, you know, get a priest and a thing and another guy, whatever, another guy from something else. Get him in there.
Yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, it's credit to Josh Brolin as an actor, because it wasn't like he was doing all this just to get it done. He really cared about all these things he was doing.
Well, the thing that was important, too, was that you saw he had to answer to somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, everyone has to answer to somebody. And there's a money guy in New York that he only talks to on the phone. And he's like, yes, sir, whatever, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And
Everyone's
got a boss. The other thing, too, about Brolin, he wasn't an asshole.
No.
He's like, you know, he's always, how you doing? He's always trying to smooth it over. There was only one time where he had to put his foot up someone's ass, and that was Clooney at the end.
Right.
The big star.
No
one else is going to talk to him that way.
Right. Even the beginning, and he would never talk to that star in front of anybody.
No.
Right.
Right. It was just them in the office.
Man to man. Anybody asks, we ironed it out, you know? Yep.
But and then he was supportive at the end. Now go be a star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clooney's crying. And again, yeah, he's a big douchebag. And not like he was overbearing and cruel.
Right.
He was just a Hollywood douchebag.
Yeah.
And drinking his, and then it's not until he slaps him and Clooney reverts back to what he really is, just some dumb actor.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Now, okay, now that I've broken you down, I'm gonna build you back up and go out and be a star.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great. And yeah, and I think really the best part is old Hollywood guys are going to watch this and go, oh my God, that's exactly how it was. Like Kirk Douglas watches this movie and goes, oh my God, that's me. That's me on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I just, because I felt like I was just watching reenactments of old Hollywood
old
50s, stories.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if guys going, now back in those days, there was.
Here's what it was like.
The Gossip columnists, they had access to the studio. And now,
right. Yeah, that was exactly what it was because they were just walking onto the set.
Right.
Hi. Hi, I'm here to bother people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so great. Could you imagine trying that today? Hi, I'm here to just take some pictures and stuff.
Yeah, I have a blog.
Yeah.
Beat hilarious. It. I remember back in the old days when we used to just sneak onto things.
Yeah.
Like when we were in college or whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm going to sneak onto this set or I'm going to sneak on. They're filming a movie over here.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in college, they were shooting that crappy movie Madhouse with John Larroquette and Kirstie Alley. They were shooting it up the street from the U of A. So me and a bunch of people went there to watch them. And they're shooting in front of this house. And I was like, I'm totally going to sneak on this set. And they called lunch or dinner or whatever. And they had pizza delivered. And I was like, I'm going to sneak on. I went back and walked up the alley and then came out from behind the houses, walked up to the table and took a piece of pizza and was hanging out while my friends were on the other side of the fence or line or what it was. And I was like, hey, sweet, I'm eating John Larroquette's pizza. And I just hung out there and ate some pizza for a while and then snuck back off the set.
I always said, like, if you were, like, new to L.A. and were hungry, I go, just get a clipboard and a headset, and you can walk on any set. When they're breaking for lunch, just walk, be, like, in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like on either on the headset or on your cell phone and just like, hey, how are you? Hey, is Mary? And they'll go, oh, you mean Janie? Yeah. Is Janie? Yeah. She's, oh no, she's, okay. All right, I'll find her.
Hold I got to grab some stuff. All right. Just walk by where, go down to Hollywood Center Studios and because around lunchtime and there'll be a big setup. Just get in line. Just be.
Yeah.
Because people are going to look at you, but they're not going to say anything.
No, everyone's worried that, like, well, what if he's.
What if he's the EP? Yeah.
He's the guy. Well, he might be one of the money producers.
Big deals. I remember Chip Chinnery told me when he was on Wilfred. Remember that show, Wilfred?
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting there next to the guy playing Wilfred, and he goes, so, how'd you get this gig? Not knowing that he's the dude who created the show and is the star of it, whatever. He's like, how'd you get this gig? And the guy's like, oh, well, I saw this show over in Australia. And blah. And he's telling him the whole history of the show. And Chip's like, oh, shit, he's the guy. Oh, phew. I'm glad I didn't say anything about, wow, this show's stupid, huh? This stupid fucking show. Because you never know who's the guy.
Never. You never know.
You got to watch your mouth. So, yeah, just get in line, grab a hamburger and some salad.
And be in a hurry. Yes. Either blend in and just sort of sit with everybody or be in a hurry.
Yeah, and especially
and
extras.
That's what producers are doing anyway.
That's true.
You know, what else are they really
they
doing?
Just hang out and get free meals.
Yeah,
just tell them you're a producer or tell them you're either with the network or with the studio.
With the studio.
Right. So that's the lesson from the movie.
There you go. Exactly. And use that 10% off Comedy Film Nerds code when you get in line. You tell them Comedy Film Nerds and you get 10% off.
That coupon code works anywhere.
It does.
Pretty much.
Retail outlets.
I just yell. I go to the gas station. I yell it at the pump. Comedy Film Nerds. 10% off.
It's good. It's a good deal. Yeah. Use it everywhere.
Voice activated
pump. Prostitutes.
Yeah. Voice activated pump.
Immediately 10% off.
Prostitutes will give you 10% off.
It's good stuff.
They won't, and you give them the whole thing, not just the tip.
Paul Goebel, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Goebel.
I figured we were getting to the end. I had to do something to make you sorry you invited me.
It happened a while ago.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, like 20 years ago it happened.
Write down time code.
It
happened long ago.
All right. Well, that's it. That's spoiler rep 42. Hail Caesar. I'm honestly, guys, I was sort of like, eh. Listening to the two of you, I'm actually like, I see the vision of the Coen brothers more.
Awesome.
And I want to, I'm going to see it again.
I've had that happen to me when I've been talking to you and CJ once turned me around.
Right.
Well, I will say, this is a movie you can see again, you can watch again and enjoy. Because when you know what's coming up, like that dance scene, the whole time I just had my
jaw, you know,
right,
wide open. And I would like to watch that scene again so I know what's coming, especially to see, like, that scene where they're sitting on those bar stools and doing that tap thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were really doing that, but, man,
who
that
cares?
Was great.
That was great.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to see that again. So you could definitely watch this movie twice, I think.
All right. Well, Paul Goebel, where can people find you on the internet, listen to your show?
Hey, Watch This is available, you know, on iTunes and at my website, thekingoftv.com. You can listen to all the episodes there. And thekingoftv.com is where to go for all your King of TV needs. You can follow me on the Twitter at Paul Goebel Show. Man, I'm hilarious on Twitter. You can be my friend on Facebook. I'll accept just about anybody's friend request on Facebook, and even LinkedIn. You know what? I'll be your friend on LinkedIn.
Don't say that.
Mm-hmm. I will be your friend on LinkedIn.
Will you give someone a recommendation?
If I know them, sure. But I got very high standards. So, but yeah, be my friend on the Facebook and follow me on the Twitter. And you can always reach me, Paul, at thekingoftv.com.
Nice. Well, if you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/GrahamElwood, you can see Hello Junkie, where Paul Goebel plays the chief of police.
Excellent.
Probably my greatest role ever.
It is.
Damn it, Stryker.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I've never put anything into a role like that. It's pretty great.
It was, that was fun. So you can see Paul doing that. I'll be headlining the Improv at Harrah's in Las Vegas. I'm actually there this week, February 9th through 14th. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a show with Mike Schmidt that he's starting Monday nights at the Three of Clubs, I believe, in Hollywood, February 22nd. It's called 20-20-20. He's having three comics do 20 minutes each.
Oh, nice.
In LA, which doesn't happen that often. So that's cool.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And then February 27th at the Improv Lab. And then we're going to be, you know, doing a lot of stuff with, we'll talk about it in some later episodes, a lot of stuff with the Oscars, obviously.
Yes.
Are you guys mm-hmm. recording this show at the Improv Lab, or are you just doing stand-up comedy jokes there?
I'm doing like a variety show.
Oh, okay.
Like
doing different things, yeah. And we got some plans for some interesting
there will be some shows. Yeah, there will be some comedy film shows at the lab.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. You got some right. cool stuff coming up live.
All right, guys. I think that's it. Anything else?
That is. We just want to mention that we are almost done the earbuds. We are closing in on the sound and also the color correction, so it's really cool. Right now, we just sent an update to the Kickstarter backers. We're going to be working on featurettes for the DVD, and we're telling people to respond and say which podcasts or people would you like to see profiled on the DVD with a featurette. However, it can't be anyone we don't have footage for already. We will not be going back into production.
You should go interview. No, that costs money, yes. Kids.
I was worried that by the time you guys finish this movie, podcasts wouldn't be a thing anymore. Yeah. People have moved on to the next thing where you broadcast
a show. Well, then it's a documentary
show.
About this wonderful little
then,
moment.
Remember back in the old days?
Yeah, then it's historical.
Podcasts were great back in the old days.
So we got a lot of cool stuff coming up.
Boom! I wanted to say that.
Why?
Because I can't get through a Comedy Film Nerds podcast without some idiot going, boom! Right? Isn't that your tagline?
Boom. Yeah, that's my tagline.
That's right. Yeah, you got shirts that have your face on them and say, boom, underneath.
Yes,
Paul. You need to sell those, man. Those would be awesome.
New merch.
Flying off the shelf.
All right. We'll set those up.
Yeah, we're going to get some boom shirts. Hashtag boom.
Nice. Hey, man. It's all about marketing.
All right. Well, thank you once again, Paul Goebel. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first. Boom.